It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi, this is Larry London, and I welcome you to a Border Crossings special for today. We've got a couple of great guests lined up, and they're coming your way in the next hour. We'll be hearing from a R&B singer who has been in the jazz world with the group Incognito, and she scored herself quite a few hits over the years, and she's going back to the basics now, back to the roots with her version of a Pat Benatar song. We'll check out Mesa, who's coming up on the show in this hour. Hang around for Mesa. Also joining us, he's a singer, he's a songwriter, and he sounds an awful lot like Ed Sheeran. His name is Tom Walker, and he'll be here to tell his story and to sing some of his new music as well. We're looking forward to learning a little bit more about Mesa and Tom Walker and hearing from both of them coming up in today's Border Crossings Hour. Welcome to the show. I'm happy to have you with us.
Would you send me blue roses? Would you send me kisses? Would you send me your love? Or would you just wait to me?
I walk a thousand miles just to see you smile. What you do to me, and it's you, you're the reason why, so won't you stay a while, so that I can make you see,
just how you make me feel,
oh baby, oh baby,
and I wonder if this is real,
yes, it's what
Don't rush the feelings through the door.
Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. And in our studios today, celebrating her 26th year in music, all the way from Baltimore, Maryland, we welcome to D.C., Mesa. Well, that was a long drive.
Yeah, it was a long drive.
Long trip. Well, I know you grew up in the Baltimore area, but then you moved to L.A.
Yeah, I moved to L.A. In 1991.
And you became a backup singer with Stevie Wonder?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did that all come together?
Well, my best friend was singing with him at my last year in school at Morgan State University in 1991. And she asked me, could I audition? Because Stevie was looking for an alto voice. And I passed my audition, and it was amazing. It was a very difficult audition.
Mm-hmm.
I passed the audition, and then I moved a year later because I had to finish my degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I had 1 year to go. And so a year later, I moved out to California, and Stevie was doing the Jungle Fever project with Spike Lee. And so I got to sing on that.
Wow.
My first professional gig was
right out of the gate.
Uh-huh.
Wow. I'm sure you must have learned a lot at that point from him. Because he's quite a great tutor to have.
Yeah, somebody, he is.
Is he a perfectionist? I mean, was he tough to work with? Or?
No, I just think it's more, it's all in your mind. Because you're singing with Stevie Wonder, and Stevie Wonder can hear everything. He has, perfect hearing. So, you kind of want to just be on point because it's such a big gig. It's such a, prestigious gig to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the pressure is more on each person.
Mm. And then after that, you went and added more pressure by becoming the voice of Incognito.
Yeah. Yep.
And you were with them for what? I think 9 albums or something?
More than that. Well, I've done so far, I think, about 14.
14 albums altogether. But with Incognito, I think.
Yeah,
it was...
with Incognito. Yeah, Incognito's 14.
Oh,
about
my 14. Goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we've done a lot. We kept going. We keep going every year. We keep doing. I think we play tag team. Like, I do an album 1 year, and then they do an album next year, or something like that.
Then, what lane would you feel that Mesa fits best into? I mean, you've been obviously R&B influenced.
Mm-hmm.
And grew up listening to Luther and Natalie Cole and all the greats.
Yeah.
And then also you like some jazz.
Yeah.
And so where are you most comfortable? Where are you at home?
I think that's where I am. I like mixing jazz, funk, and soul together is my place. That's where, I had to make up my own thing. Shaka Khan did it. I mean, so many people have done it before me.
Right,
but I think
that's
the place where I like to be, that mixture of all that music together.
Mm-hmm.
They've called it so many names over the years, neo-soul and... new jazz and all this kind of stuff. But it's just soul music.
And now you've just put out a new album,
mm-hmm.
which is album...
Number 13.
13, wow. Lucky 13.
Yeah, solo. Yeah, 13 solo album.
And it's Call for Love? Is that what it is?
No, it's Love is a Battlefield.
Oh, the album's called Love is a Battlefield.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
uh-huh.
Well, that's great. So you're a fan of Pat Benatar, I read.
Yeah, I am. Absolutely.
So this is Pat Benatar's song?
Mm-hmm.
And you decided that's kind of R&B, jazz,
right?
Pat Benatar, where does she fit in all this?
And I just love the song so much, and I just wanted to kind of make it my vibe and kind of change the dynamic of the song as far as like the focus of it. It's more of a romantic. We throw us a big romantic song, a big dance song, and everything from back in the day, a huge hit. And I just wanted to focus on the love being about love for the world and the universe and people. I think we've lost compassion. And so I want us to bring that back, because I want to try to talk about that. So that's why I chose that song on the album. The rest of the songs are more on the traditional romantic, tip. So, but these are just,
So that's the first song you're gonna do for us?
Yeah.
Love's a bit. All right. Well, I'm gonna hand it over to you now because everybody's anxiously awaiting to hear you sing. Mesa's in our studios, so here's "Love Is a Battlefield."
Thank you.
You're begging me to go and making me stay. Why do you hurt me so bad? It would help me to know, do I stand in your way? Or am I the best thing you've had? Believe me, I can't tell you why. But I'm trapped by your love, and I'm chained to your side. We are young, heartache to heartache, we stand. No. control. Will you turn me away? Or touch me deep inside? And when all this gets old, will it still feel the same? There's no way this could die. But if we get much closer, I could lose control. And if your heart surrenders, you'll need me to. Oh. We are young.
We are young.
Heartache to heartache, we stand.
We stand.
No promises, no demands. Love is a battlefield.
Wow, that's amazing. Beautiful
thank
voice.
You. Thank you.
Mesa's our guest, and that is the title track to a new CD that just came out a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago, mm-hmm. Love is a Battlefield, originally done by Pat Benatar. Mm-hmm. Does she know that you did the song?
No, I don't know. I hope she does. I hope she likes it. I really do. It would mean the world to me.
That would be great.
If she liked it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's such a powerful message.
It is.
And
it
you
is.
Mentioned, you know, it's about love because, mm-hmm. hey, that we need love now more than ever.
We do. Absolutely. I wish people would lead with it. I wish people would think first with love in their hearts. And I think we can fix a lot of things, but it seems like people are more, they're scared. They want money more than anything. Mm. And that's sad. I think we should flip the script on that.
Now, you're a mom, too, and you
yes,
have a son named Jazz.
Uh-huh.
Now, how do you explain what's going on in the world to him? How do you talk to your child as a mom who's concerned about all this?
I just tell him to stay positive and surround himself with positive people. And I try to let him know that there's hope for the future. That is because kids these days don't see a future. They don't see any hope of doing what they want to do. My son, I noticed they were having conversations about the same thing, that they don't know if they're going to be able to get jobs after college. They don't know if they're going to what they're going to do. And I always said, just follow your heart and follow your dream of what you want to do. And just do it no matter what. Just do it every day. And it'll pay you in the future,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I just want him to be excited about it. He wants to be a photographer, videographer, and music producer. And I'm going to encourage him fully to you know, just live his dreams. Because that's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to enjoy being in these bodies and living this experience. We're not supposed to be stressed out and sad and just upset all the time. And I just don't want my son to live. I don't want anybody to live like that. So,
how old is he?
17, almost 17. 18.
Oh,
yeah.
He's at the door right now. No. He's ready to head out in the real world.
Yeah.
Now, he's got pressure on him because mom is a very famous singer, and he's also got a name, Jazz.
I know.
You better live up to the name.
I know. Well, I just want him to have a, you know, his last name is Akuru. It's like it's Nigerian, so I thought Jazz Akuru was such a cool name.
I love it. That's great. And you also you were involved with a March of Dimes with your son. You guys,
yeah, back in when he was little. When I first born, he was actually born in Osaka, Japan. I was on tour and I was on stage and my water broke on stage.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. And wow. I was 6 months pregnant. So he was born at 25 weeks and he was only 2 pounds. So he was very, very small. And I had to actually leave him in Japan. And I know it was terrible. And so when I finally went back to get him, he had to gain weight. He had to be 5 pounds
mm-hmm.
so he could be transported. And so when I went back home, I brought him home. I was watching him like a hawk, you know, like as all mothers would do. And he seemed like he was turning blue, and it scared me. So I rushed him to the, he had a cold and he was turning blue. So I rushed him to the hospital. And that's when I first heard about RSV, which is respiratory syncytial virus, which most kids under 2 years old get this. And they're hospitalized mostly because of this condition, which is when kids get a cold, kids are at risk, preemies or with heart disease or lung disease, when they're, that risk factor. So when they get a cold, it can turn into a bronchial infection or pneumonia very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and when they're so little and fragile, it gets really bad really fast. So this, the medicine for it is called Synergis. It was called back in the day. I guess it's mm-hmm. still that. And it was very expensive. And so I wanted to go out with the March of Dimes and kind of raise awareness and also raise money for mothers who can't afford the medicine. Mm-hmm. And that's probably, you know, I would love to return to that, to do that again.
Wow. Mm-hmm. On stage, here comes the baby. Uh-huh. Then you have to leave your baby. You continued working and touring?
Well, I was finished. We had 1 week left in Tokyo to do. Mm-hmm. We did Fukuoka, Osaka, and then Tokyo. Mm-hmm. So the band Incognito, they went on and did Tokyo. So I was in Osaka by myself and had the baby. And then they eventually all went home, and then I was still there. Whew. And so it was scary. But all the counselors, I had some incredible people from the embassy. They helped me there, and they did all this paperwork. And and they told me to go home and be with my family until he gained 5 pounds. And then once he gained his weight, or took, gained 3 pounds, right. When he went to 5 pounds, they said I can come back and get him. So it took him about 2.5 months. So I had a very expensive phone bill because I called the hospital every day,
oh,
all day long.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Wow. You talk about unique stories.
No, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, Macy, you're on tour right now for your new album?
Yeah, we're promoting the album just doing some nice summer shows and around the country and going to Spain in October. So I'm excited, really excited.
Do you enjoy performing for the international audience?
I do. I miss it. I want to do a lot more. I haven't done a lot lately, and I want to return to that. So I think it's going to happen soon.
Mm. In your perspective, what's the difference between performing here and internationally? What are the difference in the audiences? Because we're broadcasting to an international audience.
The international audiences, it's just amazing. The energy, it's like they're so appreciative you coming to the country or whatever, so the cities. And so it's like it's so amazing. What it is that you go to a different country and they're singing your music in English. And it's so when I can't speak the language back to them, that's really strange. Mm-hmm. So I try to learn a little bit every time we go to different places. But it just seems like, I mean, people in America appreciate music. I'm not saying that. But when you go internationally, it's just a different energy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big, beautiful energy.
Mm-hmm. Do you have favorite places you like to go?
Well, I miss London, of course. But I loved, we've been everywhere. Incognito's taken me all across the world. Mm-hmm. And I love Italy, I love France, I love Germany, I love, we've been everywhere, so.
Mm. Is that a part of the tour? Is it an international tour?
No, this is just only with the exception of Spain. This is only here in the States. Yeah, well, right now, we'll see.
Hopefully you'll get out there and, you know, promote the new album around the world.
Yeah, I would love to. London, too. I got some talks about London, so we'll see.
All right. Mesa's got a new album out, Love is a Battlefield, if you wouldn't mind doing another song for us.
Yes, I think the next song I'm going to do for you is a song that I wrote about, I wrote it for everybody. It's an inspirational song from my last, it was the last album or one before that, I'm not sure.
Hard to keep track.
I know, it's hard to keep track of 13. But this song means a lot to me because it's about chasing your dreams and doing stuff. You get to a certain age of life when you sacrifice for everyone and you don't do anything for yourself because you're waiting for that time when everybody else is taken care of. Mm. But in this world, we know that life is short. So we need to do it now and enjoy being in our bodies and enjoying experiencing the good part of life. Mm. And so this is why I wrote this song. It's called Inside My Dream.
Here's Mesa.
It's 5 a.m. and I've been awakened by a story my mind is telling my heart. It's saying, baby, don't you worry, you never have to fear. It's telling me to rest my spirit heal. It's giving me another lesson and how to keep my faith alive. Get the world I want to see. I just need to close my eyes. At night I enter another world where my fantasy becomes my reality. A place I never ever want to leave. I just wanna live inside my dream. Whoa.
Beautiful voice. Are you professionally trained, or how did you develop your voice?
I have a degree in classical performance from Morgan State. Trained to be an opera singer, but I decided I wanted to sing jazz music.
When did you decide music was what you wanted to do?
Wow, when I was 6 years old. My mother took me to see the play Pearlie in Baltimore, and when Melba Moore came out on stage, I lost my mind. Like, I saw the costumes and the lights, and when she opened her mouth and sang, I just knew then I wanted to do whatever she was doing to make me feel that way. Wow. I wanted to do the same thing.
Wow, you've done such a great job in so many albums and touched so many lives, and of course the awards. You were nominated for a Grammy. You won a Soul Train Award. That must have been a highlight for you.
It was. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was a surprise. You know, I was sitting in the audience, and I saw it was so loud. There was so much going on. But I saw them do the nominees, and I just looked at. So I talked to my friend. I just didn't think I was going to win. So we were just talking, and they put my picture back up, and it said winner. And I was like, what?
Me?
Is
what?
Yeah,
what?
I just went crazy at that point. I was just screaming. So that was fun.
Did you? Come on, be honest with me. Did you have a speech ready?
No, I didn't. No. I didn't think I was going to win. I really didn't. I was just honored to be nominated. And that's how I feel. It's like the nomination is the thing that I wanted my whole life in both instances. And so, you know, when I got them, I was just like, okay, I got it. Now I'm happy.
Well, it's been a career with many highlights. Can you pick one that you can share with us?
Wow, so many. I mean, first one, you know, singing with Stevie, and then auditioning over the phone to become the lead singer of Incognito.
Over the phone?
I did.
How'd you do that over the phone?
Well, Bluey called me to have a conversation about when they were going to fly me to London for an audition. And then he asked me to sing to him on the phone, and I did. I sang Don't You Worry About a Thing.
Wow.
And I sang it, and he said, okay, well, my manager will call you tomorrow about your flight and stuff. And then the next morning, his manager called me and said, girl, I don't know what you sang to Bluey, but you got the gig, so...
Save us the airfare. You join them on tour. Wow, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you have been influenced by quite a few singers. And now these days, you say that you're a fan of Justin Bieber among many.
I am. I've been, you know, it's Justin Bieber came through my nieces. And that, you know, I took them to a show. Mm-hmm. And during the concert, the song As Long As You Love Me stuck with me somehow. Mm-hmm. So I went to the show with them. I wanted to see them do it live, you know, because like I want to see it. And plus they needed a chaperone. So I had to. So I went to the show and I was thinking, I took a book. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm going to be bored. Let me just look at this. But I was mesmerized the whole show. I just loved his performance. Yeah. And, you know, and so I just think that he just hasn't gotten well, he's gotten a lot of press for whatever reasons.
The wrong reasons.
Yeah. But he's really a great musician. And so yeah. I just wanted to pay tribute to that kind of thing. I just love the song. The lyrics, the lyrical content is fantastic. I just think those words, As Long As You Love Me, you know, I'll be your platinum, I'll be your silver, and I'll be your gold. Like, what better love is that? You know, so I think that's beautiful, a beautiful sentiment. So I just wanted to put that out there.
And what kind of advice would you give to somebody who wants to get into music? It's a tougher business now, I'm sure, than when you started. So what would you advise to people?
Just be an individual and to hone your craft and be as good as you can and just be super professional. And just love what you do and make it more about a spiritual thing, like being a vehicle for work from the universe, from God, from the universe. That you're supposed to be here to help people. And make people feel better and help them go through their life experiences. That's what this gift is for. Mm-hmm. And once people make it about ego and make it about them, it loses a lot of specialness. So I just hope that. And then, of course, if you try to be like somebody else, if you try to be the next Beyonce, you can't do that because Beyonce is still Beyonce.
Right, right.
You know, even with people who have moved on, they established that, who they are. So any young kids coming into it, just be an individual. Be who you are and make it great. And I think that's the best I could do. And then get a, you know, really good managing attorney, you know, just get through life. You know, that's how you do it.
Now, you think 13 albums by now, you kind of got a set sound. But one thing I've noticed about you is you reinvent yourself on all the different albums. You kind of change a little bit, change a little around. And that's great. I mean, that's what keeps you relevant. That keeps any artist relevant and interesting and appealing.
Yeah, it's been a blessing. The 26 years I've been in the game and still making records. That's a lot.
You must have started at 3. You got your birthday coming up in August.
Yeah. So I'll be 51 years old.
Really? No way. No way. Well, happy birthday. What do you got planned for your birthday? Touring, that's it?
I haven't been on vacation ever, so I want to take a vacation. And I think I'm going to try to do that around my birthday time.
You deserve one. Tell your boss.
Okay.
Maybe you're the boss. Maybe you own your own record label?
No, I don't. I have worked with Shauna Key Entertainment, but one day I will.
All right.
Let's see.
And what do you want to do next? I mean, you got the album out. It's a new album. Songwriters always have things in their head. They're always working on ideas and plans.
Right.
Can you let us into your head? Give us a little insight into what maybe the future.
The future is, for musically, I want to do a dance record, a fully strong, bona fide dance record. But I'm also going into theater. I did some theater this year.
Great.
So I was really excited about that. And it was like real theater, not like the kind of just fluffy stuff. I had to really actually learn lines and stuff. So I had to do that. So I was scared at first, but now that I've come away from it, I think I can do it again.
Well, you're beautiful, you're talented, so there's nothing's holding you back, that's for sure. And I love your nails. Look at those nails. I mean, tell me about those nails.
It's just because I hold the microphone, I kind of get my nails done.
And I see girls like to get one different color than the others. I'm a guy, so you got to help me understand what that's all about.
It's just for fun. It's just a little. It's
You're
just
a glitter girl?
Thing.
Is that what you are? Little glitter on
it? Yeah, just a little glitter. You know, girls love bling.
Yes.
You got your bling
going. Mace is our guest, and I'd ask you to do another song if you
would
mind.
Okay, cool.
That'd be great.
This song we're going to do is a song that I'm pretty much known for. From my group Incognito, we recorded this song in 1992. So this song is 25 years old.
Wow. Happy birthday, song.
Everything's got to. Birthday, man. So, 25 years old, and this song was written about my son's father and myself. When I first joined the band Incognito, I fell in love with one of the band members almost immediately.
Uh-oh.
And, there's a lot of drama.
That's a no-no.
Yeah, but he turned out to be a 007 international playboy. I didn't know that. I thought he was going to be my husband. So that kind of just, you know, messed up my plans a little bit, but we're still friends to this day, and we got a beautiful son out of it. So, but back in the day, when we were on tour and stuff, it was really difficult, and the band saw us go back and in and out of relationship constantly on the road because it was what we were doing. So it's one day we'd be my boyfriend, next day he'd be somebody's boyfriend in Japan, you know, it's like, it'd be so different. So it's always some drama. Mm. And so Bluey, the leader of the band, he saw this and he said, Mason, you got to leave him alone, really. He's not the right one. So I didn't follow the advice. So he said, I'm going to write this song for you. Mm. And when I got to the studio and sang it, I mean, we literally, everybody cried. I mean, I was crying in the studio. Uh-oh. I was crying during the song. We can't really hear it, but... and Bluey, when I came out the studio, he was crying. The engineer was crying. The people making coffee was crying. I mean, it was weird.
I got to go get tissues.
No, no.
All right.
That's okay now. So this song is called Deep Waters.
All right, Deep Waters. Here's Mason.
slowly drowning in deeper, deep waters. I'm drowning in, deep waters, slowly drowning in deeper, drowning deeper, baby.
Nice. That's I felt the tears coming. Mesa, that's that beautiful song.
Thank you, honey.
And you learn a lesson, never cross a songwriter. That's right? Why never cross a songwriter.
That's it.
Wow. Now, how many songs do you think you've written over the years? Because I know you 13 mm-hmm. albums, you're probably writing all the time.
I know, I
many do. Things inspire you, and you get an idea. And then all of a sudden, you got to narrow it down for an album, which is a tough part of the process.
What I've been blessed is that usually I get inspired when I make my records. I kind of go into this zone where I drive and then I, you know, just keep driving and stuff sometimes for hours. And if I hear something and I kind of write the song, I sing it to my phone while I'm driving or something. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it just, you know, the songs are always, they always come for that particular record.
Mm.
So I think that's
and
why.
And the new album, Love is a Battlefield, it's all about love.
Yes,
and
it is.
And the message that we all need to be listening to right now.
Absolutely.
We need love. We need healing.
Yes.
We need guidance. Healing. I think we're kind of lost.
I know. Right now. We are.
And so if people want to get your album, it's iTunes and Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure on your website
as well.
On my
website, mesa.com.
And people can reach out to you and find out where you're performing, the tour schedule. And how about social media?
Are you active on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Pinterest, and I think that's it. I can't do any more. It's
too
hard.
You do it all. Wow. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
No, thank you.
And congratulations on the new album and the tour and the future budding acting career and everything else going on. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
You just kind of radiate positivity.
Oh, that's good.
You know, beautiful smile.
I feel happy right now. I just want everybody else to be happy.
Yes. And so, again, your website?
Mesa.com. MAYSA.com.
All right. Thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you.
Our guest today has been Mesa. The album is Love is a Battlefield.
Larry London on VOA1's Border Crossings.
Hi, I'm Larry London, and welcome to Border Crossings in our studios today. He's on tour for his debut album, Blessed. We would like to welcome to the Voice of America none other than Tom Walker, who is here via Scotland. So welcome to the U.S. Welcome to D.C.
Nice one. Thank you very much.
Now, is this is not your first tour here, or is it?
Well, we've done some like gigs in New York and L.A. and, you know, some showcases and stuff like that. But yeah, this is our first road trip across America, I would say.
And coming from Scotland to D.C., I assume this is your first time here?
Yeah, this is my first time in D.C.,
What do you think of this city? I mean, going around and looking at all the big buildings.
And the schedule's been quite busy, so it looks beautiful out of the car window. But I've not got to experience as much like
we... Looks great on the back of a quarter. But
yeah,
that's
exactly.
About...
I mean, we drove past the monument earlier, so we saw that out of the window. And then it looks beautiful. I like the water.
What's the biggest change you've noticed coming to perform in America for American audiences versus what you're used to back home in Scotland and in the UK?
Biggest change? Hospitality is very nice over here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is in the UK as well, but it's kind of... you know, everyone's very, very nice over here, so that's good. We're always well looked after. The drives are definitely a lot longer because, you know, it's a big place, America.
Uh-huh.
You can get to the top of England, to the bottom of it in no time at all. So, yeah, that's a bit different. But, yeah, mostly the same.
Mm. Are you living in England now?
Yeah, I live in London at the moment.
Mm. And so you left Scotland and all the family and the friends?
Well, I moved from Scotland when I was, like, 3 years old.
Oh,
so I was raised in Manchester. I am Scottish. I know I don't sound it. But, yeah, I was raised in Manchester. And then when I was, like, 19, I kind of moved to London. And I'm back and forward, Manchester, London.
So tell me about Blessings, the new EP that came out, I guess, end of April, beginning of May.
Yeah. I wanted to do something that kind of encaptured what we're doing live with the band.
Mm-hmm.
I say we because me and my drummer Ali over here, and also Sam that does bass for us. We just wanted to get the sound that we were playing at live shows onto a record.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the whole concept for it. And then Blessings was I'd written before the whole concept of the EP, and that was about I live with seven people. And sometimes it gets a little bit hectic. And we don't really have a lot of money, but what we do have, we make the most of. You know what I mean? And that's it's kind of nice. Like, not everyone does that. And I think a lot of people live regretting stuff and moaning. But, you know, Friday night, if we've got no money, we just stay home and have a few beers and make the most of the house. So, yeah.
That'll work.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you work with Adele's producer on the album?
Yeah, I work with a guy called Jim Abyss. And he's done, you know, Arctic Monkeys, Adele, Kasabian, all sorts of people. Mm. So that was a real game changer for us. We got to go into the studio and do everything for real, like real drums. We got in a brass section for one of the songs because we could. We got a cello player in. You know, before that I was making songs in my bedroom on my laptop. So mm-hmm. it was a big jump and it was just an amazing experience.
But that's probably the only, you're young, so that's probably the only way you know how to make music is through laptops and, you know, Pro Tools and all the electronics that go
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Versus the old school in a garage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, Jim still uses Pro Tools, but he's got like a big old SSL desk from like, I think it's 1991. So, yeah, it's nice to just do stuff properly and it's got a total different sound to it, and I'm really proud of the sound we managed to capture. Because I don't think a lot of people are trying to do that today. Everything is very digital and very modern sounding, but we got a nice mix of real drums, real guitars, and modern beats and programming and stuff like that. So,
how'd you come up with the songs for the EP? This is your Here I Am, Meet Tom Walker. So yeah. You're picking those songs for a songwriter. That has to be a difficult process.
Yeah, well, I'd written, you know, I think what a lot of people don't realize is how many songs you have to write to get five. So I've probably written about 110 over the last God knows how long. Mm. So eventually I just got five that I was like, right, this is the EP.
This is it. You
yeah,
found them.
I'm happy with these. You know, I think it's songwriters as well. They're never 100% happy with stuff. They're never like, that's it. It's done. That's you know, it. To actually finish something is really hard in the songwriting world. So
is there a story being told with these particular songs you picked?
Yeah, I don't want to go into all of the stories, though. I mean, I'll let the people decide because, you know, there's some ex-girlfriends in there.
Uh-oh.
Some politics in there. So we'll let the people decide what they think.
All right, Tom Walker's here, and we've got Allie, who you brought with you.
Yeah.
Part of the band.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to ask if you wouldn't mind doing a song for
cool.
us.
Cool. I'm just going to do this on my own. This is called Blessings.
All right.
Or are we going out tonight? We could go to yours, you could come to mine. I got no money for the pub, no. Could probably scrape enough for the bus, though. And what a time to be alive. Four bottles down my neck and I'm feeling fine. So let's have it for the good times. Let's have it for the good times. Been counting our blessings, but it don't take us too long. 'Cause our lives ain't like a movie of a Katy Perry song. Been counting our blessings, 'cause we got friends to lean on. Got no money in our pockets, we're too busy getting drunk. We're counting our, just counting our blessings. No, oh, oh. Just counting our blessings. Well, I really hate to kill the vibe, but who's going to the shop? We could use supplies. I'm busy playing FIFA. You all know I'm gonna beat ya. And what a time to be alive. At Freddy's and I drop and I'm feeling fine. So let's have it for the good times. Let's have it for the good times. Been counting our blessings, but it don't take us too long. 'Cause our lives ain't like a movie of a Katy Perry song. Been counting our blessings, 'cause we got friends to lean on. Got no money in our pockets, we're too busy getting drunk. We're counting now. And when the night is over, lay your head upon my shoulders. Glad I'm coming down with you, 'cause nothing really matters long as you're right here. Been counting our blessings, but it don't take us too long. 'Cause our lives ain't like a movie of a Katy Perry song. Been counting our blessings, oh, 'cause we got friends to lean on. Got no money in our pockets, we're too busy getting drunk. We're counting our, just counting our blessings. No, oh, oh. Just counting our, just counting our blessings. We're counting our blessings, oh.
just counting our blessings. Yeah, we're counting our, just counting our blessings. We're counting our blessings.
Ooh, sounding great.
Thank you.
I like that. Boy, that's great. The title track from the EP there.
Yes, indeed.
Blessings. Tom Walker's our guest in the studio. And so exciting times for you. The Scottish Sun called you the next Ed Sheeran.
I've heard, yes. I know. No pressure.
No pressure. How does that make you feel when you hear that? I mean, it's good to be compared to something like that.
Yeah, it's good. I'm a massive fan of Ed Sheeran. You know, the guy's worked hard. And one of the reasons I started songwriting, actually, which I don't say this very often, is because I listened to his first album.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, if that kind of weird-looking ginger kid can do it, then maybe I can...
You'd be another you know ginger, I mean? Right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly, with a ginger beard.
That's it.
But no, I think he's you know, proof that if you can write a good song, then you can go out there and play it to people and they'll like it and they'll buy it and they'll listen to it and they'll come to the shows. So, yeah.
There's a lot of pressure. I mean, you know, if you're going to get compared to somebody like that, that kind of starts you off with a high expectation.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's fine with me, though. If they want to compare me to Ed Sheeran, I'll take it.
Mm. And who did you grow up listening to? I mean, you're obviously past Ed Sheeran's, you know, you weren't growing up listening to him, but who were you listening to? I guess your dad had a big record collection.
Yeah, he had a massive record collection, actually. He still does. I listened to AC/DC was my first concert when I was 9 in Paris. Yeah. So I was a massive fan of them. I grew up listening to a lot of Paolo Nutini, the Arctic Monkeys. Adele's first album was really wicked, you know. Mm-hmm. A couple of things. I like Ray Charles. I like Muddy Waters, Little Walter. I watched the movie Ray and like became obsessed with Ray Charles for quite some time. And then watched Cadillac Records and became obsessed with that whole scene. So, yeah, loads of different stuff. It's not like I'm into this one person.
Mm. Now, when you started off deciding that you wanted to do this as a career, was it a part of the plan to make it in America, to tour in America, release records in America? Did you think of that?
Worldwide domination.
Nothing small, right, for you? Tom wanted worldwide domination.
No, the plan was just to make some music, and the rest is just an amazing bonus. Like, I've gotten to do a lot of traveling recently. I've seen more countries in the last 2 months than I probably have in my life, so it's just amazing. I mean, we just came back from a tour where we did 20 gigs, 19 different cities, 5 countries in 30 days.
Wow.
So it's just so good to go around and travel and meet new people. And I had thought about it, but I'd not thought, like, this is why I want to do it. I wanted to always wanted to just do the music, but this is just a lovely added bonus.
What's been your favorite experience so far? Or favorite place to play?
Favorite place to play? I've got to say, I played in Hyde Park in London, and Stevie Wonder was playing the same day. So I technically supported Stevie Wonder. And he did a 4.5-hour set, and the whole day was just magical. So I think that was my favourite gig to date so far. But outside of the UK, we went to... LA was amazing, really cool place. And also Rotterdam in the Netherlands, that was really cool. So, yeah.
Where were you when you first heard your music on the radio for the first time?
I was in London. I was driving from Manchester to London, and I came on Radio 1. And I nearly crashed the car, to be fair, because I was so excited. I was literally I was about 20 miles away from my house, so I was nearly home.
Hmm. Well, the journey's just beginning for you. I mean, you are young. Very first album, very first EP.
Yeah.
If people want to get it, I imagine they can get it on Amazon and iTunes. But what about your website? Is it available?
www.iamtomwalker.com.
iamtomwalker.com.
Yeah, we just released vinyl yesterday, actually. So you can get it on a heavyweight vinyl now, 12-inch.
That's the big trend.
Yeah, exactly.
Just need something to play it on.
I know, exactly, yeah.
You can't go to Best Buy and buy a turntable anymore.
So many people who don't have a turntable have been like, can I buy a copy and sign it and put it on my wall? I'm like, get a turntable.
Tom Walker's with us, and if you do another song, that would be great.
Cool. So this is just you and I.
Let's get drunk, I'll pour my heart out through my mouth. This year's been hard for us, no doubt. Let's raise a glass to a better one. Let all the things that we've overcome bring up to us, cause me and you, we can hold this up. And Tony, you understand how I'm feeling now, yeah. And I know that I can tell you anything. You won't judge, you're just listening, yeah. Cause you're the best thing that ever happened to me.
Cause my darling, you and I, we take over the world, and one step at a time, just you and I. Cause you're the only one who's light just like the sun, one step at a time, just you and I. So let's get drunk, we'll reminisce about the day that we were broke, not getting paid, taking trips at the weekend, when I would drive down to see her and we would paint the town. Too many shots I'll be passing on, cause I can never keep up. Quarter roads, now I'm puking up, and I know that I can tell you anything. You won't judge, you're just listening, yeah. Cause you're the best thing that ever happened to me. Cause my darling, you and I take over the world, and one step at a time, just you and I. Cause you're the only one who brings light just like the sun, one step at a time, just you and I. I'm tired of chasing paper and staring at the screen. Been saving up for weeks now just to get to you, my dear. And though you're far from my home, this ain't no weekend, but you know my heart grows fonder. Must be shitty love, cause my darling, you and I could take over the world, one step at a time, just you and I. Cause my darling, you and I could take over the world, one step at a time, just you and I. Cause you're the only one who brings light just like the sun, one step at a time, just you and I. Yeah, one step at a time, just you and I. Yeah, one step at a time, just you and I.
Wow, what a great hour. Thank you so much, Tom Walker, and thank you very much, Mesa, for being our guests today on Border Crossings. I also would like to thank Markel and Vince for putting the show together. Thank you for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow, and we'll be playing more requests and dedications, and I invite you to join us. And, of course, until then, you can keep those requests coming our way, facebook.com/VOA Larry London, and by email, it's bordercrossings@voa.gov. Have a great evening. Tell your friends you found your channel, your program, your hour for the greatest hits by request and dedication. This is Border Crossings on the VOA1 Music Network.